Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Drew Ramsey. I'm a board-certified psychiatrist, psychotherapist, and an author. My work has been focused on integrative psychiatry, things like nutritional psychiatry, how we can eat different and better foods to take care of our mental health. I'm so excited to talk with you today about my new book, Healing the Modern Brain, and some of the key insights in this book. I'm going to share five of these insights with you from my book, so let's get started. Number one is I'm asking you to change your stance on mental health to one of mental fitness. Now, what is mental fitness? Mental fitness are the habits, the knowledge, the patterns that we get into support overall mental health and sound well-being. And shifting into this stance is really important right now. In Healing the Modern Brain, I share a lot of the statistics that we see all the time about the mental health epidemic, whether it's the rate of teenage depression going from 8% of our teens to 20% of our teens today, or whether it is the epidemic of suicide or overdose or depression. We know that 61 million Americans are diagnosed with depression and anxiety alone. And so getting into a stance of mental fitness asks us to really think about mental health differently instead of this stance where we wait and you hope to never see someone like me and kind of avoiding mental health, waiting until there's a crisis. Mental fitness asks us to really step up to the plate. You've got a human brain. It requires some basics in terms of care and feeding, and the modern world is really taking its toll on those things. When we look at what's happening, we all agree being active is really great for your health and mental health. Well, 80% of jobs are now sedentary. We know that getting good quality sleep, absolutely essential for mental health. Well, part of mental fitness is really getting more detailed in how you take care of your sleep, for example. So shifting into mental fitness is asking us to be proactive and preventative, to look at these tenets of mental fitness. I talk about nine of them. And the reason mental fitness is, I think, different than a lot of the programs and ideas you see out there is these are very simple things we all agree on that the evidence also backs up are great for our mental health and our brain health. And so you look at things like spending more time in nature, grounding is one of the tenets. And in a stance of mental fitness, you're really exploring this as best you can, kind of week to week, trying to get more nature into your life. Why? Well, it's been shown in all kinds of great studies that just getting into nature for a little bit improves and activates your immune system in all kinds of wonderful ways. The researchers see kind of right away in the science how nature shifts our brains and kind of calms us down in very specific ways. So the first insight is asking you to change your stance into one of mental fitness. That's the first insight of my book. The modern world is coming for your mental health. Let's do something about it. Okay, the next insight from my book is a request that you upgrade your brain science. I find as a psychiatrist, people often meet me and they think, you know, all I think about is like Prozac and serotonin. And the new science of mental health and brain health is just so exciting and intriguing and really hopeful. I go through three of the major new concepts in Healing the Modern Brain. The first being neuroplasticity, this idea that your brain grows and repairs itself into adult life. I finished medical school in the year 2000. We didn't know that. And so it's such an exciting opportunity for you that there's a molecule that your genes code for called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And certain activities that you engage in, certain foods you eat, they help you make more BDNF. It's like a brain growth agent. Those are the kind of activities I think you and I agree that we want to do more of. We want more brain growth. We want more brain repair. So that's one of the new, I find very inspiring pieces of science when it comes to mental health and brain health. It's not that we have these like permanently broken brains. It's that we can turn on and turn off genes. And while we don't have perfect and complete control, we can do a lot in our everyday choices to impact our mental health, our mental fitness, and our brain health. Another part of upgrading the brain science is thinking about inflammation in relationship to the brain. Inflammation is really a buzzword in science. This is all of our body's natural and very important protection and alarm systems. This is how we defend ourselves, you know, from viruses, from bacteria, from really, you know, all sorts of invaders. And inflammation is now really understood to be at the heart for some patients for conditions like depression and anxiety. So understanding inflammation and its relationship to your mental health. Again, this is all part of upgrading your science. The second insight I have, asking you to start thinking about modern mental health in modern ways. And then the last insight is about the microbiome. Again, a lot of people just never thought that all of the organisms, bacteria mostly, living in your colon relate to your mental health. How? Well, it turns out the gut is the biggest part of your immune system. So the idea that eating more plants, eating more fermented foods over time shifts your microbiome into a healthier place, and that regulates your inflammation. I mean, again, what a cool opportunity for all of us to think about our mental health and take care of our brain health in new and interesting ways, right? Never before in my career have I really felt there's great science to make sure I'm recommending fermented foods to my patients. So that's where the second insight, upgrading your brain science, thinking about modern mental health in modern terms. That's my second insight and request for you. Okay, my third insight starts us with the tenets. And the first tenet of mental fitness is self-awareness. I start the tenets with self-awareness after going through a lot of the new data about mental health and our mental health epidemic and how the modern world is contributing to that. Self-awareness is just such a key tenet. I tell the story of a woman I worked with who during the pandemic, like a lot of us, started drinking a little bit more. And in working with her, I came to really appreciate that her awareness, it was just a simple awareness. She started counting drinks, started checking in with more with me about alcohol, started thinking more about the risks of alcohol in her life. That's what really got her on the path to getting control of her drinking. Self-awareness is really a request that I have for you to better understand the car you're driving, to better understand the self, and to engage in activities. It doesn't have to be therapy. I'm a big fan, and I talk a lot in the book about the science of journaling. It's actually really interesting research that by journaling, by writing down our thoughts and feelings, putting like labels on what we're experiencing, we, over time, researchers have shown there's an increase in the activity in the frontal lobes of our brain. These are the parts of our brain that are involved in executive functioning, decision-making, you know, getting stuff done. So it's really exciting to think about, you know, self-awareness and your kind of taking some more time and a little more effort to focus on the self. There's so much emphasis these days, it feels like, in the wellness movement around like ego death. And I approach it a little differently, I guess. I certainly appreciate people wanting to let go of ego, but I'm kind of very interested in your getting to know and care for yourself in new and different ways. That's really at the heart of healing the modern brain. All right, my next insight, and it might not surprise you given my background in nutritional psychiatry, is asking you to think about what you're eating and how you're feeding your mental health. Mental fitness and the movement of mental fitness really, for me, came from my work in nutritional psychiatry. When I was a young doctor and I was training as a psychiatrist at Columbia, it was really striking to me as a farm boy and a guy who's really interested in food that we didn't talk at all about nutrition. We weren't really trained or encouraged to ask our patients what they were eating. And it just seemed, again, like a big opportunity. If you have depression and you eat a vegetarian diet versus a keto diet versus a junk food diet, all of those dietary patterns impact our treatment and provide opportunities for us to create alliance and engage and, you know, think about the choices you're making and how they're affecting your mental health. I talk a lot in my prior book, Eat to Beat Depression and Anxiety, about all the exciting research. Let me just share a few pieces of you. The SMILES trial, which I think published 2018, showed that individuals who were in mental health treatments for depression, when they were counseled on a Mediterranean diet, one, they adopted the Mediterranean diet and they saved a lot of money. And two, their depression got a lot better. A third of them went into full remission from their clinical depression. Now, this is where there's an augmentation strategy with food. So we're adding on, let's say, a Mediterranean diet on top of treatment that people are already getting. Brain food, this idea that we can feed our mental health, is, again, one of these opportunities in front of you every day, three times a day. I think it can feel overwhelming. There's a lot of fear-mongering. There's a lot of misinformation about nutrition. And that's where I hope Healing the Modern Brain and my other work really helps you kind of cut through the noise to simple things like lentils, pesto, wild salmon, anchovies, white beans. I just named some of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, meaning they have more nutrients per calorie than other foods, and they also have specific nutrients that we know the brain needs. Easy place to get started, everybody, is my little rhyme, seafood greens, nuts and beans, and a little dark chocolate. So we've gone through four insights thinking about how my new book, Healing the Modern Brain, and this idea of mental fitness applies to you. That's really what I hope you're thinking about at this point. Like, oh, how can I up my mental fitness? And so let me share the last insight I wanted to offer up today from the book. In this book, I try to go beyond the typical lifestyle medicine recommendations that we always get. Sleep, exercise, eat well, don't engage in dangerous substances. And that's all great advice. But I'm a psychotherapist. And in my time with patients, I see how important our connections are. We've gotten alerted to this with the recent Surgeon General Vivek Murthy noting that we have an epidemic of loneliness and isolation in America. We increasingly see people are losing friends, they're spending less time socializing, they're spending less time going out, particularly younger folks are getting more and more isolated. The solution to this, and right now with the mental health epidemic, everyone, awareness is not enough. I love awareness, mental health awareness, every May, that's our month, great. But you've got to take that awareness and turn it into action. That's really what Healing the Modern Brain is all about. So in my chapter on connection, I share a story of a middle-aged man I worked with post-divorce who went from, fantasy football, being pretty isolated, like a lot of guys, he's really connected with his kids and they went off to college and just a hard time for him. And getting him connected up to some IRL events around the sports, getting him connecting with other fans, going out to see games, it's a huge part of his healing. In Healing the Modern Brain, I ask you to think about a web of connections because it's not just friends and loved ones. I realized in my own work and in thinking about my own mental fitness, it really was important to map out the different types of connections for me. It's not just those, again, close ride or die folks in your life. The connections to institutions, connections to mentors, connections to mentees, connections to certain places that are meaningful to you, or certain processes that really are exciting to you. You know, if you're like I was talking about journaling earlier, so that's both a process, but it's something that's really helped me feel connected to myself. I really like the process of it. So connection and really thinking about all of the ways that that can expand in your life, whether it's going to the farmer's market, so you're connecting more with the people who grow your food, or whether it's going to a town council or town hall meeting to try and sit and connect with your community, especially during these challenging times. Everyone, I hope some of these insights from Healing the Modern Brain help you think about your mental fitness. I hope some of these stories and some of the studies and actionable tips give you some things that you're thinking about today, whether it's lunch or dinner and you're going to up your nutrient density with some leafy greens, or whether you're going to do something even just simple, pick up the phone, give a text, give a call, give a FaceTime, connect with someone in your life. Or whether you're going to do a great journal entry tomorrow morning with your coffee, I hope some of these ideas strike you, and I hope you hear my hopefulness for your mental health and your mental fitness. Healing the Modern Brain, the 9 tenets to build mental fitness and revitalize your mind is available in bookstores everywhere. I hope that you will check it out. Thanks so much for listening and spending a little bit of time with me. I'm Dr. Drew Ramsey. I'm a psychiatrist, psychotherapist, and author, and I hope that you will enjoy the book and check out Healing the Modern Brain. Thanks so much.